Okay, we're recording. So welcome everyone. It is J-Dog's, Jordan, J-Dog's 1 year anniversary today, right now. 1 year. And she just celebrated her 18th belly button birthday. I could not imagine. It blows my mind being that young and being that full of self-awareness and self-love to get herself here with us. I'm so inspired by her. She's absolutely wonderful. So she's going to speak for us after Mark reads us his limerick for her. So go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Jordan, how are you doing? Right, that's not a part. She's the best baker in the kitchen. See? She's a total fucking legend, if you ask me. She does a great English accent, Gabna. Hi, I'm Mark Alcoholic, and I fucking love her. You're a great pal. Don't change, Jordan B.
Nice. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks,
boy. Okay, so J-Dog, you can speak for, it's a noon meeting in Ireland. So if you can talk for about 20 minutes, half hour or so, that would be wonderful. And then we'll open it up for people to share. So it's your room, my friend.
I feel powerful, but also like the pressure's on. Okay. Jordan Addict. Hi, I like drugs. Try not to do them. Yeah, I have my 1 year. Where'd it go? Just had it. Here it is. I have a coin. I was just playing with it. And I was like, because there's a little one on there, because, you know, it's a year. Just like, that's weird. Like, I've been asked a few times, like, oh, how do you feel? What is it like? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just going to eat some candy today. But that's, you know, like every day. So, so I thought back to where I was like about a year ago, and I've had, you know, like, different times in the past year, which it was like a year ago, like the end of January, of last year, there were like, I had my last drunk, which was not super enjoyable. And then, but I still was doing my drug of choice among some other things. So my sobriety is March 5th. And I guess I'll just start with when I noticed yummy, yummy drugs. So I remember being, I don't know, just a wee loss, as the Brits say. And with my cousin and my sister, and we were in a room at my grandma's, and then she was going into her room and like walked past us, and she had this like white wine or champagne or I don't know, something beige and alcoholic beverage. And I remember I was either the only one that didn't want a sip of it, or I was the only one that did. I kind of forget. But either way, it's like weird. Like I've always kind of stuck out. Like I was wary of it for a while. I'm like, okay, well, this is like adult stuff, you know? And then throughout my life, I would just growing up, I'd be like, oh, mom, what's that? I want to try that. So I would just, you know, ask to try stuff, sips of beer, wine. My dad is a very, like, mixed drink person, especially if we're at, like, a restaurant. He'll get, like, he's like, da-da-da, top shelf, mojito, or whatever, like, something mixed. I eventually learned to make, I think it was mojitos, or like stuff at home. Because I love like baking and cooking, as Mark's limerick said. And then I was like, this isn't weird. I just like mixing the alcoholic beverage to give my parents. That's not suspicious at all. So I guess like why not add mixology to the mix? And whenever I would play Sims, I would make the aspiration for the character like a mixologist, or like that would be their career. And there's also like this bubble machine in Sims, which is basically like you know, drugs but on a video game. And yet I would do this stuff in video games, and if it would take damage to the player, yet I would do it anyways, and I didn't quite know why. Especially there was a time that I was on a Minecraft server when I still played on servers, and I made like a little bar. So I bought a whole plot. So like in a Minecraft server, depending on which one, you have like little plots. So I bought one for like for me to live my little Minecraft house, and then I bought a whole nother one to make a little bar for other players to go to. And as you know, the player, I would drink like, because with the barrels you could, I don't know if you can still do it, but make like barley and like different things, but you would drink it and it would have like a not good effect on the player. Not sometimes you would take damage, but sometimes you would just be dizzy and like you couldn't see, and then it's like, okay, what's the point? Because you can't even be productive and play the game, and you just like wasted whatever money you had on like buying like a beverage. And then I was like, thinking back on that, I'm like, why did I do that? But I can say that for a lot of things I've done in my life so far, why, Jordan, why did I do that? Another thing was I always ate dessert in the car, and this correlates, because I would so whenever the waitress or waiter is like, oh, do we want dessert? And then, okay, if somebody said no, I'm like, okay, you know, speak for yourself, buddy. I'm not paying for it, but I'm definitely getting dessert. But I would get it, and I would be too full to eat it then. And instead of waiting until I was home, it's like the second that I wasn't absolutely full that I was going to throw up, I would eat the dessert. And I just remember this feeling of like, and I figured out the other day, it's like this of, okay, this thing makes me feel good. I want to continuously do it, but I can't. And then it's frustrating. And that reminds me of drugs. So I figured out that was like watching my favorite TV shows. So I would, you know, go and like watch the TV show, and I'm like, oh my god, this is so cool, and rewatch it, and then it got boring because I knew exactly what was going to happen, and it wasn't even fun anymore. So then I would try to not watch it for a long time, kind of like a tolerance break. And by the time I did that, maybe a month or two has passed, I try to watch it again, but then I still know everything, and it was just really frustrating. And then I don't know, just looking back on stuff, like I remember that feeling, and that I kind of felt like that way with drugs, but I couldn't remember what it was. And then I figured out it was like TV shows the other day. So I always like sipped beer or sipped, like tried whatever of my parents. And then once we went to, I don't know, it was like a surprise like spring vacation thing, we just went to like this hotel on like a lake. But I remember we were eating like outside, and my mom ordered like this flight of beer. It was like little like shots of like five different beers. And then instead of being like, oh, can I try a sip of that? I'm like, yeah, but I want to try a sip of like every single one. And that I think is a little more worrisome than being like, oh, what's that thingy that I haven't tried before? But don't know, it just sticks out in my head. And then I would use, I would just, like anything that was left, because we have just this corner, this like part of the counter at my house for stuff to go to the recycling. So like a beer bottle, a white claw, just like, you know, there's usually a little bit of a liquid left in like something that, like a can that you're going to recycle. So I would like a ravenous little chipmunk, go down there and be like, oh, what's empty? What's full? And sometimes I would do it like my parents were just in the living room, and it's like a, like you can see the kitchen from the living room, but I'm like, okay, as long as they're looking at the TV. And like, I don't know. It was just, I started doing that probably years, but I'm a senior now, so probably my sophomore year. So 2 years now? Sure. Not great at the maths, but about 2 years ago, before that, I would do the little sneak out and get like drunk with my friends and then like blast music. Like I would just be drunk off my ass on the back seat. Fuck if I knew where I was, but I knew there was good tunes and some, the windows down. And in the times, I only did it from my house once because my house has little like security things. And once I was grounded because, I don't know, I like drove with, I was like more than one person in the car, and my friend was 16 years old, so like that was illegal. And then my parents found out and I got in trouble. So that's why I was grounded. It wasn't like drinking or using related, but I did that. And I didn't have my phone. I remember like the whole time I was just thinking like which window is the best to sneak out of. Like they all have screens, except for the one above the kitchen sink, but that one's a little bit of a drop. So I rolled that one out pretty quickly. I was just thinking like, what's the best way to fucking get out of here? And it was just an obsession. Like I don't know if I was allowed to watch TV. I could like read a book or something, but I'm like, no, I will not. And I've always liked hidey spots. That's just like my own shit. Or like having my own little like thingies. I used to be such a big tattletale when I was younger. My cousin and sister would be pissed at me because we would do something, or I don't know, somebody yanked the Barbie from somebody else's hand and like hit them with it, I don't know, something like that. And like I would always like feel, I think, anxious and guilty. So I would like tattle on myself. So then I was kind of known as like not a good liar, which in my opinion, it helps if to get a reputation of not a good liar. And then you become good at lying, but don't tell anybody. So that kind of helped my usage get away with it a bit more. But in the sneaky out things, the time that I did it not from my house, I remember like I was at my friend at the time's house, and her like stepdad or mom's boyfriend at the time, whatever the title is, like they just had so much alcohol like upstairs, and then they had a basement where they kept even more for, you know, in case they ran out upstairs. Of course you need backups. So I just remember her like going down there and getting a mix of like, it was like peach schnapps, banana schnapps, this like red gin thing, sake, and just like whatever the fuck was down there, because the goal was to not to be like, oh, this taste from this tastes like it's from 1979 wine. Like, no, the goal was just to get fucked. So she would get that, and then I remember there being like this bag of mini carrots that my friend was eating, my other friend that was there. And then before we could get out the window, I just got too drunk. And I was just like, but the carrots. And I just remember I kept like talking about the damn carrots. And then I fumbled my way out the window into the car. And then the next time we snuck out of her room, it was like, okay, Jordan, you don't get the bottle until we're out in the fucking garden. It was probably a smart move on their part. But yeah, I went from kind of like sneaking out, drinking to my friends, which then I remember a time that I would just collect bits of alcohol that I could. There was like this huge bottle of like taller than my noggin, bottle of vodka that my dad had, because he would put like Bailey's or Kahlua or something in his ice cream, sparkling water mixed with whatever, like vodka or like a bit of orange juice after a long day. And I remember once we were at a restaurant and just me, my sister, my parents, and then my dad, you know, drank stuff. So then he was a little like tipsy, probably a little drunk more like. And then I remember he went to pull the car around, and then, you know, my mom yells at him like, basically, what the fuck are you doing? pulling the car around. And I think, yeah, me and my sister were inside the car, and then they were yelling. And then later my dad apologized of like, oh, hey, I shouldn't have done that. So my viewpoint of alcohol and I guess drugs was, so both of my parents are in the public service, like police, fire, health, nursey, like that type of area. So I was definitely been raised to like, I don't know, obey the law. And that's not exactly what I did. But my viewpoint of like alcohol and usage and drugs, I like knew it was bad. And then from experiences like at the restaurant, like, okay, don't drink and drive. That's dumb. That's illegal and bad. So, but then from the media, I got just this idea, like, okay, everybody uses weed in high school. Everybody tries a little puff puff here and there, you know? It's a rite of passage. And it's normal. I don't know. I was talking to my friend, it was just yesterday, about like what is normalized mean. So like something could be normalized to me, but not to someone. Like she lives like 30 minutes away from me. Yet different things, like it's normalized for like a 19-year-old to move in with a 15-year-old where she is. And I'm like, is that normal? I don't know if that's normalized. That's kind of concerning. So I guess what is normalized is based on everybody's specific viewpoint and just what they are exposed to. But I just got it in my head of like, okay, it's the normal thing for kids to do to steal their parents' alcohol or bits of it and replace it with water. And I always had this fear in the back of my mind that like I would take a bit of vodka and then I wouldn't replace the full amount that I took with water, but like a little bit. And then I was always worried like, oh my gosh, they're going to put it in the freezer and then they're going to see like ice crystals. And then they're going to be like, someone put water in this. What have our kids is drinking? But no, they never did that. It was just like room temperature vodka in the top of a cabinet. And I got away with shit. Like, there was one time at my friend's house, like we came home and it was like 4 or 5 a.m. And we came back and the window was locked. And the blinds were down. And the screen was back on the window. And we're like, fuck. So you know, her parents didn't really like care. Certainly not enough like to tell my parents, and I was terrified walking out of that door because my mom picked me up. She was like, oh, I'm just sleeping over at my friend's house, not doing anything suspicious, totally in the house the whole night. But they didn't tell my mom. They just, I don't know, didn't really care. But other than that, I never got caught. I love stealing too. Like, fuck, dude. It was just like a rush of something. I don't know. Dopamine. I don't know. But there were all these types of things that I was doing. And then, you know, oh, it's normal to like take bits of alcohol. And I remember like when I was taking some alcohol, it was from that friend at the time that like had like stuff in her basement and I would like get drunk and sneak out with. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna like go use the bathroom or something. And then I went down and I poured stuff into my own bottle for myself. So I kept it like inside like my box of stuffed animals or something. And at this point I started like hiding. Like, just, it became gradually more. And then I tried weed for the first time. Well, like, dab pen form. That's the only form I ever did. The one night that I was supposed to try edibles, I had a panic attack, and then my mother had to pick me up. But, so I only tried dab pens, and I remember, so we were just doing this fundraiser thing for my school. We were doing a, like, serial killer the fundraiser thing. It was fun. Then my best friend, who's still my best friend, throughout my whole shtick, she had like a 6 months or like some kind of celebration with her boyfriend, and then her boyfriend gave her a dab pen, and then she came back to like the house where we were like doing stuff and was like, oh my gosh, look what I have. And I was like, oh my god, because she knew that I wanted to, like, you know, I knew that I wanted to try like weed and stuff in high school, so I did that. And the battery was dead, so someone was about to use it and then it was fucking dead. But then one of the persons there had a drug dealer, a boyfriend, on the down low. So then we like stripped a wire and then put it on the in and outside of the coil. And then we got high. And I remember one of the girls there being like, oh, Jordan's so totally high. Like she's had enough. And I'm like, no, I'm not high yet, I promise. I don't even know what high is. I was super lying off my ass. Like, but I just wanted more and more off the bat. And then the next morning I drove to, it was like the dollar store for like some supplies or something. And then I called my friend as I'm like about to leave that parking lot, or as I got to the parking lot, I'm like, wait, I think this is still going. Like, is this normal? And then she's like, yeah, it could still be happening. And then from there, I wanted to get like a shared cart between me and like some people I knew / friends at the time. And then, so we got a shared cart. Like, we just passed it around. Like, someone had it like two nights out of the week, pass it on. And I would do the whole thing, like put like a towel at my door, the fan would be on, windows up, candles, Febreze. I did the thing with like the toilet paper tube and the dryer sheet, and like blow it through that out the window. And the nose on my mother, she's like a freaking canine. But she never smelled anything. And it took me a while to figure out, like, I guess maybe it depends on the type, but anything I used didn't smell. But I went from like doing that to then just not caring. Like, of course I would slowly be like, okay, well, I'm not gonna do the candles or this or that. And then I would, like, if no one was home or I thought no one was home, I would just be like walking to the kitchen because fucking munchies, man, you know? And then I would just be like hitting it on the way, and it went from like, oh, this is cool, fun, this is what kids are supposed to do, to literally every day, all the time. The first time I used was that was October 13th or November. No, October. I have it written down somewhere. And then I quickly progressed from there, like a month or two, month and a half. From there, I was using it every day, all the time. And once I was at my friend's house with like the drug dealer boyfriend, and I had, I was just like, oh, you know, having trouble sleeping, something. And she was like, okay, try this. And I'm like, okay. That was Seroquel. It's a antipsychotic / side effect is sedative. So I would use it for a sedative. Not that I don't know what the antipsychotic would have done or not done. But my friend, it was her prescription, but she had a phobia of throwing up. And she would throw up if she used the dab pen and took it. So she would just use the dab pen instead. So then I got it to sleep. Once I did Klonopin once, I was super high. So I don't know if like I even felt it. But I was rocking and rolling. And then I remember for like New Year's Eve, I was like, okay, I'm not going to use in the school anymore. Like, because I would use like Wake and Bake, and then I would drive me and my sister to school, and then eventually she's like, why can't I see your private story? Come on, you're hiding something. Like, oh, come on, I want to get to know you. And then it was because like that's what I like posting my like drug stuff on, if I did post. And then I eventually told her like, oh yeah, I'm doing this and this. And then once I like came clean, my mom was so pissed that my sister knew and didn't say anything. But so I was using it all the time. And then I was like, okay, New Year's resolution, I'm just going to like not use during school. And I told my friend this, and it was probably good for a week or so. This is my friend that like was at the anniversary and brought the dab pen. And like, she's been my bestie through this like whole shit. And then within a week I was using in school, and then she's like, weren't you like not gonna do that? And I'm like, yeah, you know, changed my mind. So I've never relapsed, but there were times that like I tried to quit, if only for a tolerance break. I'll be like, okay, I will finish off this cart and then go a while without one and then get another one. Of course, it was like, or like, okay, I'll stop now. But it's like, oh, I'll just finish the cart. And then it's like, okay, well, since I don't run out, I'm going to get like two or three carts at once. And this one, I was like hollowing out books just for like the shape of the stuff. And it was a good excuse, because if my mom saw that I was doing it, I'll be like, oh, yeah, it's for the fundraiser, like scavenger hunt thing. And I use that fundraiser for an excuse for everything. I'm like, I'm gonna go to this person's house like three times a week so that we can totally do homework and work on this fundraiser. And then yeah, so the bulk of my usage was like, or at least my drug of choice, was about 5 months. So then it goes into January. Kept going. My last drunk was on January 23rd, and that was the only time I think I was hungover. So I was either hungover or I had like kind of a, I don't know. I had an incident, so it was like a body shock thing, but I did acid like February 1st. Fuck knows why I did that, because I was into downers. And then I had like a reality break. I went downstairs. My parents were awake. I thought I was woke them up with my screaming. I wasn't screaming. That was all in my head. And then I played it off as this is a weird reaction to my medicine. I still kept doing stuff. And the, one of the pivotal moments for me was I was at lunch with my sister on March 3rd of 2020. And I was feeling anxious. I went to the bathroom to take a hit. And then I felt more anxious. I was like, this is literally the opposite of what it's supposed to be doing. Like, what the fuck? So then I felt even more panicky. And then I tried it more that night and probably on the 4th. And then I just stopped everything. I was taking diet pills, dad pens. I don't know if I was still doing Seroquel then. And my purse, it was like a mild anti-anxiety. And then I lost my fucking shit because I was on all that. And I immediately stopped because my body like turned against me. So then it was about a week of me playing it off. This is a, I don't like my medicine. I just got off of it. This is an adverse reaction. So like a week of that until I was like, hey, mom, I have something to tell you. Because another one of the points was I was at in the car with my mom and my psychiatrist. And we're like, okay, we're going to put her on a different medicine. And then I was fighting for medicine for a while for my mental doodads. And then I was like, okay, so this thing that could have worked, I potentially got like just fucked it up because I was using during it. So then that with some other things, I just came clean. She was not happy and my dad was certainly disappointed. I remember him saying like, I never thought I would have to be worried about any of my daughter stealing. And I'm like, that kind of hurts, you know? But then I got into an IOP program. And I got a therapist that I actually talk to and I don't show up to our appointments high off my ass, make jokes. And yeah, and then through IOP, they were like, okay, you should go to a meeting. And I'm like, no. But I eventually did. And one of the first places I found was Free Thinkers that I liked because it wasn't all like super Christian-y. I didn't have to go through too many of those, like, find an agnostic fellowship, luckily. And yeah, so I just, I'm very blessed. And I don't like those words that are usually associated or that I associate with like church stuff, like fellowship, parish, blessed, doodads. But I'll say it. I'm blessed to have found this program or whatever. And I like just recently started working the steps and reading stuff with my sponsor. I got a sponsor. And I've been having the thought of like, okay, what if I just don't have a problem? Like that thought again. And I love on page 31 of the big book in chapter 3. I think it's There is a Solution or We Are Called. Whatever it's called. And it's like, here are the methods we have tried. Drinking only a beer. Drinking not during business hours. Drinking, I don't know, different things. And it's like, we could increase the list ad infinitum. But it's like, I'm pickled. Like, a cucumber is like, you know, a non-addict. And then once you are an addict, you can't really go back. And I think I acknowledge that, and I've tried to get myself, like, to accept something, but it's hard to force yourself to accept something, because that's, like, I feel like kind of against the definition of, and I can have all this information of, like, things get fucked while I'm using it, goes too far too fast, and I don't understand people that can, like, take half a drink and like leave their drink on the table and not finish it. Like you have to build upon the high or the tipsy to the drunk to the wasted or else you're wasting it. Like, come on, you got to save it for a good time. But I have all this information, like things get fucked yet I'm still like, okay, but what if I can do it one day? Or what if I'm wasting, put this in quotations because I'm really think it's a waste, but wasting my time in AA if I spend a couple hours a week in AA if I don't need to. And then it's like, I don't know, What if I'm just in a bad place? What if after my brain's fully developed, I'll be fine? So, like, I'm not, it's not like I don't have wavering thoughts and stuff, but it's a day at a time. I love to look forward in the future. And then I'm like, that's kind of what the program is like. No, no. Because I heard this once. If you have a foot in yesterday, a foot in tomorrow, you're pissing all over today. Love that one. And when I hear a day at a time, my brain jumps ahead of, okay, but that means sober forever. So I still have reservations and I'm trying to like accept things. But like forcing myself to accept things isn't quite accepting it. And a lot of people, I think, have this idea that weed is non-addictive. But like I would change the HTML to hide my grades from my parents. Like I would change the code. Like my, amongst other things, it was just unmanageable. And that's how I define addiction. Or if someone has something, like I'm just like, okay, is it unmanageable? That's up to you to define it yourself. But thank you for letting me share. I know I went over a bit. But I'm Jordan. I like drugs and I don't do them. Bye.